So we know that the lack of breastfeeding leads to a number of adverse health outcomes. It puts children at risk of traditional infectious diseases during the time that they're being breastfed or not being breastfed. So that period of protecting the child in the first 6 months of life, which are the time of greatest risk for infant mortality, we're not giving the child that protection that the child needs. But increasingly, we know that breastfeeding actually matters well beyond just that initial period, but actually sets the child up for long-term health consequences. So breastfeeding in the first 6 months actually protects the child against the development of childhood obesity, of leukemia, protects the child against SIDS, but also has impacts on the mother's health herself, that she's protected against breast cancer and ovarian cancer by breastfeeding.
So no country in the present moment in the world fully meets recommended standards for breastfeeding. What can be done at a government level to have more success?
So the Global Breastfeeding Collective, which has been launched by WHO and UNICEF, is a collection of 20 organizations coming together to really advocate for stronger government programs and government policies to support breastfeeding. It calls for an increased investment in breastfeeding. For too long, we've talked about breastfeeding as being free, as if we can just expect mothers to do it without any kind of help. But in fact, we need to invest in breastfeeding through better training of healthcare providers, paying for the time of counselors to spend time with women. Calls for implementation of the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes to control the way that breast milk substitutes are promoted to the population. Adherence to maternity protection standards so that women don't have to go back to work immediately after having a baby and have accommodations when they do go back to work. Better counseling, better hospital practices in line with the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding, etc.
So you were talking a little bit about this idea that breastfeeding is a one-woman job, and it's really not, right? So it really depends a lot also on the support system that women have. What can be done at a community level in terms of like family support and groups that could be help supporting breastfeeding?
So clearly, communities need better education. Families need better education about the importance of breastfeeding and how they can support a mother. And communities themselves need to have the resources that mothers can turn to when they have questions about breastfeeding. They might be simple questions about how can I go back to work? Maybe the laws are in place, but women don't even know about that. Communities need to provide places that women can breastfeed because it may not be comfortable for them to just be standing up breastfeeding. That some women may not feel comfortable breastfeeding in public places, and so having places that they can do that protected from view, protected from some kind of discrimination, that might be important. It may be important for communities to have counselors available to women, resources that they can turn to, such as baby clinics or breastfeeding clinics that they can go, and mother-to-mother support.
And in terms of the workplace, because most part of the women go back to work, it depends on where they are, but in the U.S., for example, they go back to work sometimes 3 weeks after giving birth, sometimes a couple of months after. What could be expected in terms of a workplace to support the women who wish to continue breastfeeding?
Well, I think the most important thing is to say that we need to change our rules about when women do have to go back to work. It's really not fair that they're expected to be back to work within just a few weeks postpartum or even a couple of months. We need to protect that time so that women can spend time with their babies, learn to breastfeed, provide that nourishment. We ask mothers to breastfeed exclusively for the first 6 months, and that's certainly very difficult to do if she has to be separated from her baby. But then when the mother does need to go back to work, at whatever time period that's agreed to, we need to make sure that we have accommodations so that she can continue breastfeeding. That means time that she has to either express milk or to feed her baby directly, a space that she can do that without interference, something that's shielded from view, is a comfortable place for expression of milk. But also important that we find solutions that can keep the mother and baby together. So on-site daycare Perhaps bring the baby to work in many work situations would be a possibility. Telecommuting arrangements so that she has that flexibility that she really can spend more time with her baby even after she's gone back to work.
I would like to talk a little bit more on the importance of breastfeeding after the first 6 months. So we're talking, can you talk a little bit about that and what are the advantages of doing that?
So the international recommendations are that breastfeeding really ought to continue to 2 years or beyond. Breastfeeding continues to provide optimal nutrition for a baby and continued protection well beyond that first 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding. It's important that babies receive complementary foods in addition to breast milk after about 6 months of age, but they ought to continue with breastfeeding. It is optimally nutritious. We know that the longer the baby is breastfed, the more they're protected from childhood obesity. And we know that the mother herself, the longer that she breastfeeds through her lifetime, the more she's protected against breast cancer and ovarian cancer. So those effects really do depend on the duration, and we would have a kind of a more minimal effect of breastfeeding if it only lasted for the first 6 months.